This is the Christian Life Center weekly podcast. Visit us online at MissoulaChurch.com.
Man, we are in the midst of starting a brand new series here at CLC, and I want to encourage you to not miss this. I know we just came out of a long series on the armor of God, and so many people were blessed by that, and I even had people saying, "Can we have? Is Pastor going to surprise us with an encore so we can keep going with that?" And I said, "No." oh, I know, right, Bomb? What a party pooper, right? So, but God's leading us in a new direction, and we're excited about that. Hey, take on the armor of God, put the full armor on. I've already had people say to me, "Hey, I've had to raise my shield already. I've had to take my sword with me," and that's amazing. But we are starting a whole new series, and we're simply just calling it David. We're going to look at over the next few weeks and a while. We're going to talk about the life of David and what we get to look at his faith, this guy in the Bible, his failures, his achievements, and all the things that he went through in order to be who God called him to be and destined him to be. And I really think you're going to get to see a lot of your story in his story. In David's story. So I want you to lean in, and you're going to find how God will move in your life despite of all your chaos and all of your craziness and all of your confusion that we're seeing in the world. We have someone that we can look to, and I think it's really going to help you. If you are not a note taker, I want to encourage you, take notes. I heard this stat that you are 4 times more likely to remember it if you write it down. So take some notes. If you're traveling throughout the next couple weeks, make sure you check out online or go back and watch these messages. I know they're going to be an amazing resource for your life, for the rest of your life, that's going to equip you and help you. And so we're going to talk about this guy, David. David is one of the heroes of the faith that we need to know about, because reality, again, you're going to see so much of your story in his life. And his story starts about 1,035 years before Jesus even shows up on the scene. We go back to about 1035 BC. He's born in this town, maybe you've heard of it before, this little town called Bethlehem. And he's born in Bethlehem, which is a town about 30 miles outside of Jerusalem. He's one of the 12 tribes of Israel. In fact, his tribe is the tribe of Judah. And he is the great-grandson of this amazing couple named Ruth and Boaz. And if you don't know about them, I'd encourage you, it's a great story. Go back, look it up, read about Ruth and Boaz. But David's kind of a legend. Some of you, whether you're in church or not, you've probably heard about David. He slays giants. He rallies armies. He ends up ruling over Israel for about 40 years. And he establishes God's people, Israel, as this really great kingdom. His son would eventually come along and build the temple. So his whole life is legendary. In fact, he's actually mentioned, his name is actually mentioned 974 times throughout the Bible. He is the second most person in the Bible behind who? Jesus, right? Good. I'm glad you guys got that right. I was worried about that. So what we're going to realize is that his life just has so much significance. To the point that his family line is the line that Jesus was born from. In fact, Jesus would even call himself the son of David. And this is a really, really big deal. As we look at this hero of faith, I want you again to see yourself in his story. And also see that the solutions of what God brought into David's life, the ways out, the solutions that he added, are the very same solutions that are available for your life today. And so today we're going to start with this idea, the whole idea of like jumping off with David is simply this. Why did God choose David? Why did God choose David? Out of everyone and everybody in the world, why did he pick this guy, David? And so we're going to pick up in 1 Samuel, right? And it's interesting. You need to know this because the nation of Israel, David was not the first king. Like, he was not God's first choice. The first king of Israel was this guy by the name of Saul. And Saul's story is interesting because it starts out really, really good. Like, he starts out, he's really righteous. God's chosen him. He starts out, he's honoring the Lord. He's doing all these great things. But then Saul, as his fame grew, he ended up rebelling against the Lord. And as he rebelled against God, God just says, hey, look, you know what? I'm going to pick another king. I've got somebody else in the wings. And look what it says. This is, again, Samuel's talking to Saul in 1 Samuel 13. He says this, but now your kingdom will not endure. It's not fun. Like, you're talking to the king, his name's Saul, and you're telling him, hey, bro, you're done. Your kingdom's not going to endure. The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart and appointed him ruler of his people because you have not kept the Lord's commands. So here we go. This is this prophet Samuel. He's speaking to Saul. He's telling him, your kingdom is over. God has sought a man who's after his own heart. And I want you to hear me this morning. This is so clear as we jump out on this series. God's love for your life is absolutely 100% unconditional. God loves you. There is nothing you can do to break God's love for you. He loves you that much. But the plan that God has for your life is very conditional. The things that God wants to do in you are absolutely conditional. We can lose it. We can break it. There is a way that you and I are called to live to make sure that our life is in alignment with God so that you can walk in the favor and the blessing of God's plan. But you and I can walk out of that alignment and break that. And so Saul broke away from God's plans. He did life his own way. And yet, even in the midst of that, just like we are, a lot of us today, he says, I'm going to do life my own way. I'm going to break away from God. And yet, I still expect God to bless me. I still want God's blessing in my life. How many know it's just not going to happen that way? Like we live under God's commands to experience God's blessing. So the prophet Samuel steps up on the scene. He says, hey, God's done with you, Saul. Like, we are moving on to the next king. And so he gets to this place where he's like, okay, I'm going to pick the next king. And he goes, so we pick up in 1 Samuel 16, and this is what he says. The Lord says to Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul? Like, Samuel's mourning for him. Since I have rejected him as king over Israel. And he tells him, fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I am sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king. So if you go just a few chapters before this, you'll see where Samuel is having this debate and argument with God. Like, really? Are you sure, God? Like, are you sure you want to take Saul out of power? And really what it is Samuel's just chicken. Like, can I really go pick the next king? Like, what if Saul finds out what I'm doing? Like, he's going to kill me. And God's just basically reminding Samuel, I'm done with Saul. Like, Greg, I'm ready for the next king. I've got someone else in mind. So in this verse, God is looking for that man that can now lead the kingdom, lead his kingdom, that can now lead the purposes of God. Excuse me. And can I simply present to you today, I believe this, that God is still looking for people. He's still looking for people. Like, he accomplishes his divine plan through people. There's no other way. It's through people. And he's looking for men and women that he can trust with his purposes. Men and women that he can trust with his plans. Like, he's looking for men and women who will live godly lives, who will raise godly families, who will build healthy businesses, who will commit to building his church, people who will walk in purity and promote unity. And I can't speak for you all this morning, but I want to become that person that God chooses. Like, I want to be that person. And that's why I've launched this series today with this simple phrase is this. The idea for you and I is being that person that God is looking for. Being that person that God is looking for. Who is the person that God is looking for when he wants to accomplish his great plans? And I want to become that person. Like, I want my life to align with his purposes and with his plans so that God can trust me, so that God can bless me, so that God can choose me to do something great for him. Another way to say it is what is on God's list? Like, if God had a list, what would he be looking for? If God were to have a list of priorities of what he's looking for to choose somebody, what would be on that list? It reminded me when I was putting this together, it reminded me of before I got married. Like, it was popular to write out a list of what you were looking for in a spouse. So let's just have an honest conversation. We're in church today, right? Let's just be real. How many of you would say at some point you wrote a list of what you were or are looking for in a spouse? Oh, come on, man. This is nobody? Like, two of us? You're liars. All right. So Come on, we write out our list. And by the way, Kim, you made almost every one of those things on my list. You missed playing the piano. She doesn't play the piano. That was on the list. But I had a list of like 17 outrageous, weird stuff. Like I wanted a righteous babe. I wanted her to be wealthy. She missed that one too. But now that I'm married, right, for all these years, I realized that there are things that were not on my list that should have been on my list. Like Kim, if you know my wife, she is the most like drama-free woman in the world. Like she just, there's just no drama to her. And that was not on my list. But men, that should be on your list. Like you don't want drama, right? But some of some of you in the room, you have a list and it just keeps dwindling shorter. Like some of your list is just like, I want godly and a pulse and I'll take them, right? That's where your list has come down to. But we need to understand that God has a list of what he's looking for when he chooses men and women to do great things. So what is on God's list? Well, I think the first thing we've got to come to is we have to understand, how many know this, that God chooses different than we choose. He chooses different than we choose. Like God does not look at the things the way that the world looks at things. So I even created my own little list. Some things, some key things that I think how the world chooses people, right? How does the world choose people? Just a few couple simple things. I think the world chooses people based on talent. Do you have giftings? Do you have skill? If you have these things, if you can add something to me through your talent, well, then I think I'll pick you. Or the world chooses because of education. Like, did you get to the right school? Do you have the right degree? Did you do these types of things? Are you equipped that way? Another way the world chooses is personality. Like, are you likable? Are you popular? Do you fit in the right crowd, the right areas? If you do, then we choose you. Another way the world chooses is through appearance. Like, do you look the part? Like, do you fit in? Do you look the part? Okay, well, then we'll choose you. And then another big one is just simply your family upbringing. It either qualifies you or disqualifies you. Did you come from a good family? Are they upstanding? And all these types of things. And then we put these tags and say, if you fit these, then we choose you. And this is what the world looks at. But here's the reality. If we aren't careful, we will shape our lives based off of these things for one or two reasons. We'll base our lives, we'll look at that list and we say, well, we're disqualified because I don't fit any of those things. I'm not those things. There's no way that God can use me. And then there's the other side of it. There's the other one is also true where we look at that list and go, man, I'm overqualified. Like I fit all that stuff. Like, right? Like, man, God should choose me and he should be lucky to have me. Right? But we got to be careful because we are setting ourselves up for failure because God's list does not look like this list. Like God chooses different than the world chooses. So how did God choose one of the greatest heroes of faith that would go on to change the world? So Samuel shows up at Jesse's house and he's going to find out which of these sons he's going to choose, right? And he's going to anoint. Look what it says in verse 6. It says, when they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and he thought, surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord. This is him. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things that people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. So Eliab shows up, right? Now you have to understand the culture of this day. This is Eliab. He is the firstborn. He's the oldest of all the sons. And back in those days, everything always went to the firstborn. He was the guy. So when Samuel showed up to anoint the next king, Jesse was probably thinking, oh, surely it must be my firstborn. It has to be him because that's what is obvious. That's the way culture works. That's the way the world, this is sure. This is what everyone else is doing. But let me tell you, God doesn't choose that way. Just because they look the part doesn't mean they are the part. Just because they look that, just because they look to have it all together. Like in church today, you know, man, maybe you're that guy that says, I don't raise one hand. I raise two. I look the part. Look, I'm here today. I've done all these. I just know I look the part. But just because you have all those things doesn't mean that you are the part. And we need to understand that there is something deeper that we look for in others. And that's where the prophet goes wrong. He just looked at the outward appearance. He said, well, this has to be him. He got it all wrong. The prophet looked at the son and said, oh, they look right. And God says, but they're not right. They look it, but they're not. And I don't want to look the part, church, but I want God to say, are you the part or are you not the part? Which one are you? So how do they find out how God chooses this person? Well, he goes on. He says this in verse 10. Look here. He says, Jesse had seven sons. Jesse had seven of his sons pass before Samuel. But Samuel said to him, the Lord has not chosen these. Like all seven of them, like right in a row, one after the other, go before him. They're handsome, they're strong, they're tall, they look the part, they're warriors, but it's not the one. Nope, that's not him. Down the next one, next. Nope, that's not him. Next. Nope, that's not him. And look what he says. So he asked Jesse, Samuel does, are these all of the sons you have? And he says, well, they're still the youngest cat. Jesse answered, right? He's what? Tending sheep. And Samuel said, send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives. Now, scholars have debated of why Jesse did not have David in the lineup. Like, there's seven sons that Jesse chooses intentionally to bring in, but he intentionally chooses to leave one out. And there's scholars that debated why David was not in the lineup. Many people think that David was a result of a sinful affair that Jesse had, because if you look at Psalms 51, where David's crying out, he gives this confession when David says, sinful I was conceived in my mother's womb. But no matter what, he was an outcast in his family. Somehow he did not mesh with the rest of them. And this is actually, guys, should bring encouragement, not discouragement to us, because many of us are from broken situations. Many of us have broken issues, and we carry those with us in life, and we think because of my broken situations, because of my broken background, then I'm going to have a broken future. And I just want you to know that that's not truth. Like, God can choose even the broken things of this world. He can choose the outcasts of this world. He can choose the things that don't look familiar to the rest of the world. And he can set you up with all of his power, with all of his divine strength, so that you can walk in all the purposes that he has for your life. Absolutely. So Jesse tells him there is a youngest one out tending sheep. And look what he says. So he sent for him and he brought him in. And he was glowing with health and fine in appearance and handsome features. Kim says the same things about me every day. He's glowing. And the Lord said, rise and anoint him. This is the one. So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon him. Here's the question for us today. Reading that this morning, we start off this whole series. Why did God choose David? Out of all the people on the earth, why did God choose him? Why did God say, I'm going to choose this king, and why did he choose David? And here's why. It's simple. It's because of his heart. It's because of his heart. It all comes down to this one thing. David had the right heart. He might not have had the right birth order. He might not have had the right background. He might not have had all the right skills. He might not have looked the part, but he had the right heart. And I want to encourage you today that God cares about your heart. Like, everyone wants to walk under the right purpose. Everyone wants to walk under the right destiny. We want to receive all of God's blessing. But are you willing to do what is God's priority, which is dealing with the issues of your heart? This is what my thought definition of the heart is, simply this. The heart is the core of who you are and the center of your desires. It's this core of who you are. It's the center of your desire. It's what you really crave. It's not who you present yourself to be. That's not your heart. It's who you actually are. Like, we can all fake it till we make it, right? We can all act like we have it all together, but your heart is who you really are. It's the deepest cravings and desires of who you are. And if you really want a 2025 year that sets you up to walk in purpose and favor, all the things that God wants to give you, then you have to start with what's in your heart. The heart is referenced, look at this, 633 times in the Old Testament. It's referenced 170 times in the New Testament. And the reason why it's mentioned so many times in the Bible is because God cares so deeply about your heart. What the scriptures remind us, everything flows out of it. Everything. That's why throughout the scripture, he tells us things like guard your heart, protect your heart, purify your heart, live with a soft heart. He says, don't let bitterness get into your heart. Have a clean heart. Have a passionate heart. Like if you want a great, faithful, favored life, you have to start with the heart. So here's the question as we jump into David today. What is in the heart, what kind of heart is God looking for? Like based on David's life, what is the heart that God is looking for? And I'm going to show it to you through his life as we jump off today. The first thing is this. Here's the heart that God is looking for. David showed it to us. God is looking for a seeking heart. A seeking heart. Like we see a description of the life of David throughout the Old Testament and even in the New Testament that the thing that he was most known for. Like it was how God recognized him. God didn't say, well, here's this great giant slayer. Here's this great king, this great leader. Here's this great warrior, all great things. But that's not how God recognized David. God describes him in Psalms 13 as he's looking for a new king. And he says, this is how he describes this new king. He says, but now your kingdom will not endure. And look what he says. The Lord has sought a man after his own heart. That's how David was described. God cares about what you and I seek. God cares about what you and I are pursuing. Like 1,000 years later, David, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, this author Luke begins to write this book called Acts. And through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Luke writes about David. And this is what he says about David, all the way back to the New Testament, to the start of the church. He says this, after removing Saul, he made David their king. God testified. This is God saying it. God testified concerning him. I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. And he will do everything that I want him to do. Listen to me. God was focused on David's pursuit. And this is a really big deal. It wasn't about the fact that David had it all together or that David looked the part, but it had to do that David was in the right pursuit in his life. He had the right direction for his life. And this is so big that if you know David's story, if you learn more about him, you'll find that he was filled with flaws. He was filled with problems. Like he had an affair. Here, one area is he had an affair with a married woman. He ends up killing her husband to try to cover up his sin. His family was full of turmoil and chaotic all over the place. He had multiple wives, which was not God's plan. It's not his plan for you either, all right, just so you know. But David has all these problems, yet when God writes about him through history, he says this is a man who seeks after me. Like he was not known for his sin. He was not known for his failures. He was not known for his shortcoming. He was known for his seeking after God. Can I encourage you with this today? Man, if you're taking notes, you can write this down. Let me encourage you with this. God is looking for your pursuit, not your perfection. Amen. Thank you. He's looking for your pursuit, not your perfection. And some of us in this room had disqualified ourselves because we say, I've got issues. I've made a mess of things. And I would say to you, so did David, yet God did not disqualify David because of his imperfection. He qualified David because he was in the right pursuit. And he was saying, listen, I'm going to go in the right direction. Like God wants the same for your life. Like I'm encouraging you, let's make this year a year where you pursue God more than you ever have before. Man, let's just make the rest of this year a time where you just seek God more than you ever have before. Like it reminds me of like road trips, right? Or like going for these long drives. Like Kim and I would take road trips when we were young in marriage, and we would take things. Like I remember one time we drove from Ohio all the way, just the two of us, all the way across to the coast of North Carolina, and we would take other road trips. Or just from every day, lots of times we just go, hey, you want to go for a drive? Yeah, let's just go for a drive. No plan. Didn't know where we were going. Just like, we just enjoyed going on these drives, these last minute things. We never had to like plan it, have a list like, okay, do we have this? Do we have that? You know, we were just young. We're like, hey, let's just do it. It was awesome. And we would just say, hey, you want to go for a drive? Yeah, let's go. Where are we going to go? I don't care. Let's just go. And we went everywhere and we would just go and we'd hit the road, no plans. And we'd go on these trips and it was just amazing. Even on these trips, we didn't even want to stop. We'd maybe do one stop on these long road trips, right? It was awesome. And then we had children. How many know that changed everything? Like, you ever gone on a road trip with your kids? It's unbelievably painful. It was just unbelievably painful. Like, our trips went from one stop to five stops, right? Like, I never saw my kids ever use the restroom in our house. I'm sure they did. I just never saw it. But as soon as they got in the car, like, something came over their body. It was demonic. And, like, every hour, it's not like I gotta use the bathroom, Dad. It was like, I gotta go. It's an emergency. Like, you gotta stop now. If you don't stop the car, it's gonna be a mess, right? I gotta do this. And every time I'd have to remind myself after every stop, I would just say to myself, I had to remind myself, hey, you know what? We're closer than we were an hour ago. You know, I'd have to remind myself, you know what? It's gonna take a while, but we're making progress. Think about that. So many times we look at our walk with God and you have stops along the way. Maybe lapses in your character. Maybe you've missed that time that you've set apart for the Lord and you saw it shrunk and you're like, man, I was so committed to that. Maybe you served and you've stopped serving. Maybe you've give, but you stopped giving. And if we aren't careful, we begin to second guess ourselves and say, you know what? I'm never going to succeed. Why even try? You know, like, I just can't seem to win in this whole thing. Why is it even worth the effort? Why come to church? Why do these things? Why follow God? I just can't seem to get anywhere. And if we're not careful, that's going to be our mindset. And I want you to know today, hear me, you're still in the room. You're still here. Hear me this morning. You might not be where you want to be, but you're not where you used to be. Right? You're going the right direction. Keep up the pursuit after God. And you will get to the destination that God has for your life. Hear me, it's okay to take a slow trip as long as you're going in the right direction. That's all it is. Nothing more painful than to be on the road driving somewhere and find out you're going the wrong way. I've been there. I've been like an hour down the road and going, oh my gosh, I'm going west. I should be going east. And have to turn around and go all the way back. Listen, you're never going to get to the destination going the wrong direction. And I just want to encourage you, you don't have to get all the details right. You just got to have the right direction. I wrote this down this way because I believe this, the direction of my heart determines the destination of my life. The direction of my heart determines the destination of my life. Like, let us live with the direction of our hearts being, listen, I'm going to pursue God like I've never pursued him before. I'm going to go after God like I've never done before. And I might fail and I might mess up. But in spite of all that, I'm going to keep moving. I'm going to keep pursuing. I'm always going to find myself going in the right direction. We pursue God no matter the circumstances because my heart is a seeking heart. It's a pursuing heart. And that's why God chose David. The Bible says it this way in 2 Chronicles 16. It says, for the eyes of the Lord, it range throughout the earth to strengthen those. Look what it says. To strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. It didn't say perfect hearts. It didn't say flawless hearts. It just said committed hearts. Like, your encouragement today in this room is if you will commit your heart to the Lord, God will send his power into your life and he will strengthen your life. Things that you are weary about, things that you are frustrated about, you now can have the strength and the power of the Holy Spirit because God strengthens hearts that seek after him. He strengthens them and God's going to strengthen your seeking heart. So what is the second thing? What is the heart that God is looking for? You see in David's life. Well, this one's so important. The heart that God is looking for is God is looking for a servant heart. He's looking for a servant heart. The prophet shows up at the house, right? The boys, all seven of them are lined up, right? Except where is number eight? Where's David? Like, David's not trying. The reality is David's not trying to get promoted in front of everyone else. When David's missing from the seven, you know where David is at? The Bible tells us very clearly, David, he's tending the sheep. He's out tending the sheep. When everyone else is trying to be promoted as king, everyone's trying to be lifted up and say, look at me. David says, I'll just tend the sheep. I'll just take care of the sheep. Like in a world today, church, of self-promotion, where everyone's vying for stage time, where everyone wants more followers, they want greater influence, everyone wants to be heard and know that their opinion matters, God seeks out the person that chooses private faithfulness. That's what he's looking for. Faithfulness that will stay committed to the assignment that God has given them. Like even though nobody sees it, I want to tell you today, you remain faithful and no one might not ever see it, but you can be at heart and you can be encouraged today. God sees it. He sees it. People are looking for recognition, but God honors and rewards faithfulness. And when nobody sees what you do, the effort you put in, no one sees all the faithfulness that you're putting into God and to grow in your life, and you feel like no one else sees it, you need to be encouraged today. God sees it, God recognizes it, and God will reward it today. And when you're frustrated because nobody notices, I need you to understand, you're not trying to be noticed by them in the first place. It's not about what man sees, because they can't promote you. God's the one who promotes us. So we stay faithful, even when nobody else sees it. Do what God has called you to do. I just believe this. Serving absolutely gets the attention of God in your life. When you serve God, it gets his attention. So many of us pray. I'm around all the time. God, I just want your blessings. God, I want your favor. God, I just want more and more of you. I just need all these things in my life. And I'm just like, well, where's your service at? Like, where are you serving? Where are you putting your pursuit and your talents and your giftings and all those types of things? Like some of you serve at Christian Life Center and you may feel, nobody notices me. No one ever says, good job. Like, I'm doing all these crazy things. I'm giving up my time. You maybe you serve here and you're like, man, I get up. Nobody notices that I get up every morning on Sunday morning. I'm here at 7:30 in the morning and I'm here till 1 o'clock in the afternoon and nobody knows, no one recognizes. And I just want to encourage all of you, you know what? God sees you. God recognizes you. And let me just add this to you. And for those of you who don't serve, God sees you too. Ouch. Come on. Let's go home. No, anyway, so we serve for no other recognition other than serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's why we serve. And while you are serving, God will walk you into a life of significance. I love how David writes it later in his life in Psalms 37. He says this, he simply says, trust in the Lord and do good. Like so many people ask me, like, what should I do? What do I do with my life? And I'm searching for answers. And I just say, you know what you do? You just trust God and you do good. And look what it says, dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. And then he says in verse 4, take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Many of you have great desires in your heart, things you want to see. God, I want to see these things happen in my life. I have these amazing desires. But you do have a part to play. And your part is simply this, you take delight in the Lord. Like you serve where he's got you, you're faithful where he's got you, and in due time, God will give you the desires of your heart. It's always a failure, church, when you and I take our desires into our own hands. It's always a failure. But something happens when we release it to the Lord. Man, my ministry in life is full of desires that I had to wait for. I always wanted to be what's called a district youth director. It was my desire for years and years. My wife will tell you, I always wanted to do it. And I thought it would be in Ohio. And then God moves us to godforsaken New England. And like we had all, and no, I'm just kidding. But literally, church, I had this desire and it took me 10 years before the Lord gave me that desire. But I can be honest with you, in the midst of wanting that desire, I stayed faithful to him. And I knew I wanted to be a lead pastor. I knew God was calling. It was a desire he planted in my heart. And I was very clear with him. God, wherever you want me to go, I'll go. I knew nothing about the country of Montana. I was like, God, I'll go everywhere you want me to go, but please let it be Florida. All right? Lord, I'll go anywhere you go. There's got to be a church in Hawaii that needs a pastor. And God calls me to Ohio. I mean, Ohio. Montana. Same thing. Calls me to Montana. God calls me, and you know what? It's fulfilling the desire of my heart to be where God wants me to be. Desires are good, but they only become a reality when they're covered in faithfulness and committed to God. It's the only way. We just serve in the season that God has us, and when he is ready, he will promote you. And he will give you those desires. I'm going to be hard with you for just a moment. Can I encourage some people in the room? Stop anointing yourself king. Some in the room need to get this. Stop pouring the oil on yourself. Be faithful in the service that the Lord has for you. Serve in your church. Serve your family. Serve in your school. Serve in your workplace. Serve your spouse. Serve in your community. And as you serve, the Lord will open doors before you that you could never seem possible. He will meet your needs, and he will vindicate you, and he will give you significance. Because I just believe that serving is the pathway to significance in the kingdom of God. Like, you will never outgrow serving in the kingdom of God. This mentality comes all online, like, well, you and I will never arrive. Like, you will never mature to a place where, well, I used to do that, but I'm so mature and distinguished now, I don't need to serve anymore. I hear it all the time in the church of Christian, well, I served my time. Really? It's not a reality. And our greatest example of servant comes from Jesus himself, who simply said he came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Hear me this morning. If you're taking notes, you got to get this. If you are too big to serve, you're too small to make a difference. If you're too big to serve, you're too small to make a difference. Your life will never walk in significance. And so let us live with a servant's heart. You know why God chose David? It's because he served. By the way, it's really important to understand this, because it talks about the horn of oil, right? And if I were to bring up a horn of oil and put oil in it and today and I went like this, it would create a mess everywhere. But in this time, how Samuel knew who the anointed one is, he would literally take the oil like this. Gravity didn't work. It was the anointing of God. And he would go over each son's head and the oil never poured out. And check how this serving was, because he gets to David and he goes boom, and oil just goes boom, boom, all over his face. And I can only speak for Heath, but I'm telling you right now, if I was David and that happened to me, I'd be like looking at my seven brothers going, yeah. I'd be looking at my brothers and my dad and be like, hey, you know what? I'm the next K-I-N-G, right? You've treated me this way. But here's the reality. Even though the oil is probably not even dry on his head, guess where we find David go back to? Tending sheep. He's back tending sheep. Psalms reminds us, you know, delight in God. Delight in the Lord. In other words, be thankful. Be faithful. And then he will give you the desires of your heart. And I'm just so thankful today, and you should be, that we serve a God who is faithful. That as we serve him, in return, he's going to give you the desires of your heart. That's amazing. So let me give you the last one. The heart that God is looking for. God's looking for a seeking heart. He's looking for a servant heart, but this one is so good. The heart that God is looking for is a satisfied heart. A satisfied heart. And this is the heart where God cares about what satisfies you. Because it's amazing all the things that we feel we need to be satisfied. Whether it be we need recognition, we need to be heard, we need a relationship, we need money, we need promotion, we need validation, all the things that we need to be satisfied. And I'm here to tell you that if you need things to be satisfied, God's probably not going to give you those things. God blesses people who find full satisfaction in him and him alone. And I want you to picture this story. Like, Samuel shows up at Jesse's house. The seven sons are all lined up there, and none of them are the one that's to be king. And they go, well, there's this other guy out in the field. His name's David. And so, I guess, and Samuel's like, well, okay, everyone stand up. And I'm sure David walks into this room and here's his brothers. They're all standing up. And I want you to think of what David's response could have been. Maybe should have been what David's response would have been if it was me, like if it was us and we walked into the room and he probably like, hey, what's going on here? And they're like, oh, the prophet's here trying to find who's the next anointed king. And my response probably would have been like, wait a minute, where was my invite? Why am I now just being brought in? Like, what do you mean? Am I a leftover here? Like, dad, is this really what you think about me? Like, I'm the afterthought? Like, you don't really, like, that would have probably been my response. I mean, he could have been frustrated, bitter, angry, resentful. But look how the Bible describes him. The Bible, again, in 1 Samuel 6 says this, he was brought in and he was glowing with health, fine in appearance, handsome features. I read that and I go, well, that's not a life of resentment. Like, that's not a life of bitterness or insecurity. That's not a life of, well, I wasn't treated right. That's not a life of, well, they should have done it my way. No one cares about me. Although, that's not what this life describes. I think it was a life of total satisfaction in God. You know that if they don't invite me, God, it's okay. If it doesn't go my way, it's okay. Like, if I don't like the way things are done, it's okay, because I have full satisfaction in God. I'm not needing from people what I've already been given from my King, Jesus, which is true satisfaction in Him. And hear me, church, very clearly. Maybe, just maybe, David's way of responding to this whole picture, maybe David's way of responding to that injustice when he walked into the room was the very test that God was going to give him before he anointed him as king. Maybe how you respond right now is the very test of, is God gonna operate in your life? Maybe how you respond to whatever it is you're going through, what you experience, is the thing that God is laying before you to see, how can I use them? How can I bless them? This is the test that I'm laying before you. And his response in that moment to just simply say, you know what, God, whatever you have for me, I'm willing to do. I think it's the same response where God says at that moment when he saw David, he says, I can use his heart. His heart is satisfied in whatever I want, in whatever I do. You'll find that David ran, even after he got this anointing, he ran from trying to be killed by Saul for years. It was years after this anointing before David finally becomes king. And I always say the greatest thing in David's life was not the fact that he got king or all these other things. The greatest aspect of David's life was that in all those years of running, knowing he was going to be king, he didn't grow bitter. And I think it's because he had a satisfied heart in who God was. Many scholars believe that the most famous psalm that David ever wrote was a psalm that you all know. It's called Psalms 23. And many scholars believe that this was not written as David when he was king, but that this was written as David was a shepherd boy before he was king. Many actually believe that it was written in his teenage years before Samuel even showed up to Jesse's house. And one of the first psalms that we find David writing, when you look at it from a different lens, here he is, a young boy, tending sheep, connecting with God, all alone, and a young man who's not searching for his dad's approval, who's not complaining about his lot in life, who's not saying, well, I wish I could be like my brothers, I wish I could have all these other things, but we find him sitting by himself with the Lord, and he says, the Lord is my shepherd. In other words, he's guiding my life. And he writes these amazing words of satisfaction. I don't lack anything. Surely at that moment, he could find 20 things that he's lacking. But he's satisfied in the Lord. I lack nothing. Like, how can he do that? How can he say that? How can he write that? Because he knows who his God is. And so he writes these words, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. And look at this, talk about satisfaction. He refreshes my soul. He guides me down the right paths for his name's sake. Listen, it's not man that does that. It's not things that does that. It's God that does that. It's God that brings that type of satisfaction. It's God that brings a satisfaction in our heart that says, listen, I can trust when God doesn't provide, it's for his glory. And I can trust when God does provide, it's for his glory. I'm satisfied either way. No matter what, my heart is satisfied in him. And here's what I realize, church, more than anything else, get this. The more I'm satisfied in God, the more I'm satisfying God, the less I try to find satisfaction in the world. The more I seek after his satisfaction, the less I have to worry about the world. And you know what? We all deal with it. We all want that approval. We all want that satisfaction. But the solution is to let God give us a heart that is fully satisfied in him. To give us a heart that seeks God's approval in all things. And so I want to end today with just a little bit of hope this morning. Because you might say, well, you know, Pastor Heath, you're talking about a seeking heart. You're talking about a servant heart. You're talking about a satisfied heart. And you may say, well, I'm not any of those. Or you might say, well, I have two of those, but I'm missing one of those. Or I have one of those, but I'm missing two of those. And I would say this morning, here's the good news. That's why Jesus came. After all this, the guy who came in the line of David, Jesus, that this guy came, and now he offers this to all of us. That, listen, if you don't get anything, here's the fact. Write it down. Only God can transform my heart. And that's why Jesus came. To let you know, for all of us, hey, listen, you might not have that servant heart. You might not have that seeking heart. You might not have that satisfied heart. But I can transform your heart. Whatever is broken, whatever is missing from your heart, whatever bitterness or resentment or confusion or unbelief or hurt or envy or selfishness has entered into your heart, God can transform that. And I think that's why David prays this out. And I want you to be honest with you. We read this scripture a lot, but I really see David not just praying this, I see David crying this out. And this was his prayer, Psalms 51. Created me a clean heart, O God. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. I don't see David being very passive. Oh God, would you just create a clean heart in me? Thank you, Jesus. Amen. You know, I see David crying out, God. It was such a desire. He took seriously. I want to be known as a man after God's own heart. He took it so serious that he's praying, God, create in me a clean heart. A clean heart. He knows that the internal issues in his life can only be transformed by God himself. And that's why Jesus came. He came to transform us. He came not to make us look good, but he came to make us good. And it starts with your heart. Would you stand with me this morning? Listen, I've asked Pastor Samuel just to lead us in a moment. I want to create this moment where I think, you know, it comes to you and I bring in our hearts before the Lord and say, God, here's my heart. Would you transform it? God, would you renew it? Lord, I want to be chosen by you. And the only way that God chooses us is by looking at our heart. Is our heart in a place where say, God, I want to seek you. I want to serve you. I want to be satisfied with you. Those are all difficult things to achieve in life. And yet God has the ability to transform it. He has the ability to account it to your life and to your heart. So we're going to worship just a simple song. And you know what? It's a song of submission and a song of saying, Lord, I just want to bring my heart before you. So as we sing this today, could you make this your personal altar to say, God, search my heart. Create in me a clean heart because I want to be chosen by you. Come on, let's worship him just for a moment.
Come to the altar, the Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar, the Father's arms are open. Bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, what a Savior. Isn't he wonderful? Sing hallelujah. Christ is risen. So we surrender all and bow down before him.
one. Isn't that a song that just says, God, here's my heart. It's all about him. It's all about Christ. He does the work in us. He transforms us. He renews us, and it starts with the heart. And many of us need that today. And yet I still stand on the verse comment I made at the very beginning of this. God chooses people, and he wants to choose you. And my prayer is that you want to be chosen. So God, I want to be chosen. I want you to use me to do your purposes, to do your plans, to fulfill all you want to fulfill in my life and those around me and in my world and my church. But it starts with the heart. So Lord, I pray today that you would give us a heart that seeks you. Transform those in the room today that maybe lack in that area of saying, God, I need to seek you more. I need to pursue you. My life is going in the wrong direction. And though you're not interested in perfection, Lord, but you are interested in our pursuit and our direction. And so I pray that today, God, that you would redirect us in this room to say, God, I want a heart that seeks after you. God, those in here today that say, God, I haven't been faithful in my service to my family, to my world, to my church, to those around me. Lord, I pray that you would change our hearts to say, God, I want to serve you. I want to serve you. It's not about anyone else's recognition, but the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Would you recognize our hearts this morning? And Lord, I think a big prayer in this room is for many of us is just take us to a place of satisfaction. Lord, so many of us, our hearts are just turned to looking in other areas for satisfaction in our life. And yet, Lord, ultimate satisfaction is found in you. And let us be satisfied. No matter what comes our way and no matter lack we have or what we do have and don't have, we can be satisfied because our ultimate hope is found in Jesus. You are our satisfaction. In fact, the Bible quotes that you are our portion. And may you be our portion today. And so, Lord, we commend that to you. So all of us in this room, Lord, in some way transform our hearts. I pray, God, that we'd be like school children and say, pick me, pick me, pick me. Pick me, God. And so, Lord, I pray that over the room today. With their heads bowed and our eyes closed, I close with this today. If you're in the room and, man, the heart condition simply begins by you saying, God, here's my heart. Maybe you haven't lived for him. Maybe your heart is separated from him. It's not fully committed to him. This is your opportunity. It starts, or a transformation starts by saying, God, here is my heart. And right where you're sitting, we're not going to embarrass you. Our heads are bowed, our eyes closed. It's between you and the Lord. But I want to know who I'm praying for. And if that's you, you say, God, I want to give you my heart. Would you quickly just put your hand up, put it back down again. I want to know who I'm praying for. Thank you. Anyone else? Come on. This is your opportunity. Thank you. Lord, hands everywhere. Here's my heart. I give it to you. And so, Lord, we collectively as a church, CLC, come together and we say, Lord, we give you our hearts. If that's you in the room, you just say right there where you're sitting, Lord, I commit
this is the Christian Life Center weekly podcast.
Every aspect of
visit
it,
us online at MissoulaChurch.com.
It belongs to you. Lord, you can have my life. You can have my heart. Amen. Lord, I pray for your church today, God, that all of us collectively, we ask you to forgive us where we confess that we've all fallen short of you. But the beautiful thing is that Jesus redeems us. And so, Lord, would you forgive us? Lord, we're not perfect, but help us in our pursuit to fall after you, to go in the right direction. And so, Lord, I pray blessings upon your people today. Lord, may we rest upon us. May we be encouraged and strengthened as we go out these doors. And we serve you and we love you. In Jesus' name, the whole place says, come on. Amen, amen. Come on, let's give it to the Lord today. He's worthy. Amen. Amen. Hey, don't run out yet. We have a prayer corner over here with these wonderful people over here want to pray for you. Again, in a room this size, somebody needs prayer. So don't miss this opportunity. Just walk over there discreetly. They want to pray with you. Maybe you gave your heart to the Lord. Hey, we have Grow You Wednesday night. Great turnout. Want to see you. If you're a lady or a guy, come out and be with us for Grow You. Other than that, have a great week. God bless you.